great city and county, and we ask for your blessings upon the people that live and work here. We just pray for these elections, Lord, that we'll have a smooth early vote over the next couple of weeks and successful elections, and we just again pray for those who participate in this process. Lord, we ask your complete protection on those that serve our country abroad, wherever they may be. Please comfort them, care for them, bring them home safely. We pray for this agenda, Lord, and just ask that you now take over and preside over this meeting. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, once again, welcome. Today is the 24th of October, 2016, and at 9 o'clock, this is our last meeting of the month. We'll begin with item number one, public comments, request for information on non-agenda items. In accordance with section 551042 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, I've asked for two folks that would like to speak. Do you want to speak on any particular agenda, or would you like to make use of this time right now? Joe, I'll let you go first.
Right now, right now.
Yeah, go ahead. Come on up to the podium. Good morning and welcome.
Judge and Commissioner Court, I'm Bobby Joe Spearman. I have been elected and served as constable of Precinct 3 and have been a deputy constable of Precinct 1 for the last 4.5 years. Having witnessed your Precinct 2 appointed constable, frequent use of the deputy constable's car, I am requesting clarification on the rules regarding the appointed constable's use of that vehicle. The county cars for the use of the deputy constables, and the constable, I understand, has an annual budget of $15,000 for a car allowance for him to use his own personal vehicle to be reimbursed. The use of the county and personal vehicles has never been an issue in Precinct 1 that I know of, and it's not been an issue in Precinct 2 under Cleveland Johnson when he was constable. So, but as I stated, standards, acceptable practices are not being followed by the constable you have appointed. I believe the use of a county car, county fuel, while receiving a car allowance is a breach of ethics.
Thank you. That's something that I can look into, and I will. Ms. Chisholm, would you like to come up at this time?
Hello, I'm James Chisholm. I'm a taxpayer and a county resident of Titus County. My question is, there's a lot of people confused about the voting, because they come into town and they see a sign that says for Better Brothers 4. They get into town, but they get the city limits almost, and they say, no, you know. So we've got a lot of confusion out there. And I was wondering, is there any way under state law here that we could kind of slow down on confusion? I'm not a rocket scientist or the brightest bulb on the block, but if somebody isn't watching, they are not understanding no or. And we've got everybody caring, you know, now we've got Mount Pleasant caring, we've got Titus County caring. Would anybody care to help straighten this out, kind of? That's all I'm asking. And another issue I have is with the word democracy, according to Mr. Webster, all but everyone is supposed to be involved to make it work, okay? I realize that Texas is the lowest voter turnout, but what I'm asking is on the alcohol issue, that is only for the city to vote on, okay? But on the roads issue, we got the whole county voting. I'm sorry, but some of those people in town that are going to tell me what my county road looks like does not know a county road from a state highway, much less anything, I mean, you know, what's going on. So what is the law, or where does this come from on the jurisdiction of who votes and stuff? I mean, it's very confusing, I mean, you know. And I'm the one that harasses you guys regularly, so I kind of know a little more than some. I'm sorry, I thought I'd probe it.
Well, I think we all agree that this is a unique situation, that we've got a couple of propositions, just some various signs without full explanation as to what's going on.
Right, you've got one saying prop one, one saying proposition one. I mean, you know, I don't know how that works.
Well, when you actually go to the voting box, and I've looked at the ballot,
okay.
I believe at that point, if you were confused when you came in, I don't see that there's any way that you could confuse the way that the propositions are worded on the actual ballots. Now, you're exactly right, only city residents are going to vote on the alcohol proposition. They'll have a separate ballot for that, however, the entire county votes on the roads. Now, as far as why can a city person vote on your county roads? Well, I'm a city person and I drive county roads. I'd like to be able to, you know, voice my opinion on that. And I certainly pay taxes, as does everybody in the city pays county taxes. You know, that's just the way.
But again, the county residents pay city taxes too, okay? They pay, well, no, but we do pay for different issues. The college, the hospital, which is in the city limits, yada, yada. Do you want me to break that up a little bit? You know, I think you understand.
No, but they don't pay the city tax.
Well, no, but again, I mean, the county, to me, I'm saying, is getting a raw deal here, us poor little smutchins out there in the country, because we don't get to vote on the alcohol, and God only knows the roads we need alcohol on. No, you need some alcohol to drive them, but anyway. But anyway, I'm just saying that it just looks like we're not getting the vote on the alcohol, but the city votes on the, you know, on our roads, and I'm just not understanding. What rule is that, or who distinguishes who votes where and what like that? Is there a...
Are we talking about the alcohol vote?
No, we're talking about who votes and how. Like, all right, the alcohol is only in town, and the roads are the whole county. Who distinguishes that?
Well, the person that did the, request to have the alcohol issue put on the ballot made the decision to make that a city-only question.
Okay, and so the ones that did the road did that, so... Okay.
No, I wasn't talking about the roads. The alcohol issue was determined by those that wanted to see it put on the ballot and put together the requisite number of signatures, determined that they wanted it to be a city only. And that means that if it passes, only establishments within the city limits would be eligible to sell that beer and wine.
Okay, and so the county on the roads, that was the...
Hey, you want to shift over to the roads? I mean, is that all the questions you had on the alcohol vote?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, just to avoid further confusion, now let's switch over to the
roads. Yeah.
The road question. Okay, what is your question there? Who decides
Decides who votes then? The ones that started that petition?
Well, I think it's statutorily determined, you know, if it is a countywide issue, and it is a countywide issue, everyone in the county can vote on that.
Okay, then you don't figure that alcohol being sold in town is not a countywide issue?
It is not a countywide issue by definition, because it is only going to be determined by folks. Whether you agree with this, that's fair.
No, I know. I'm just trying to say, where does this come from? The governor's office, Bubba, or what?
State law, yeah, that's exactly.
State law, can you give me a number? That's all I'm asking.
I can.
Because now Floretta and I, we will go out and start a petition that we only want the residents between Madison and Johnson on 4th and 5th Street to vote. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or do you understand what I'm seeing here? And that's what people have been asking or saying something to me about.
I think I understand what you're saying,
yeah.
But nobody at this table made that decision.
Well,
the city might give you a better...
No, that's the next thing I wanted to tell you. This ain't my first rodeo. I have had two county officials tell me that, well, go ask the city. And I've had two people at the city hang up the phone because they think I'm a lunatic. All I want is to ask the question is, who started this? I mean, hello, is that too much to ask? I mean, you know, I was thinking about the word democracy and Mr. Webster's definition.
Well, again, are we now talking about the alcohol issue and why?
We don't care. We want to know how you set boundaries on something like that when you get two issues like we got now. Because a lot of people out in the country are really not happy campus when they don't get to vote on one, but they have to vote on another, and then they're looking at their city counterparts. That's all.
Well, granted, it's a bit confusing, but that is the way the state law works, and how can I give you a statute?
And who do I go to find out the number of that state law, you know? Seriously.
You need elections coming out soon.
Well, that's where I was told to go ask the city. And then the city told me to go ask the county. And I'm standing there harassing you guys this morning. I'm sorry. I'm like, oh.
I would say the Secretary of State could probably answer that. I don't know if they'll leave you an answer or a policy number.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, either one of the issues are big to me. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, but I mean, you know.
No need to be sorry.
Well, I mean, no, but they're, you know, they're not earth-shattering, but I'm just wondering.
It does seem a bit unfair that a county resident and a non-city resident shouldn't have to say so in that alcohol vote, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's
what I'm asking. We did back in 2009, but not in the most recent vote last year and this year, because they narrowed the scope, hoping to get better results.
Yeah, we'll vote till we get it right. I got the program. No, but I was just wondering if you knew any of the state law, because I mean, you know, when you have about two county and two city officials hang up when you ask them.
I don't know if to quote the statute, but I do know that they're abiding by law, and they're doing it the way it was supposed to be done.
And it is the Secretary of State is where I call?
That'd be the right question.
Okay.
Sorry. All right, and then I have one more, Ms. Baxter.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I just simply wanted to know who was on the library board representing the Democratic Party.
We have no idea. I mean, we have no say so on who's on the library board, to
yes.
My knowledge.
Well, that's customary, and I believe it's a part of the way it's set up. But I will see where I should go to do a further investigation on that.
Talk to Mr. Behrens, the city manager, and I don't know who's on the library board. I couldn't name you one person. Now, maybe the librarian is, but I don't even know that. I bet she can tell you who's on the board, and I don't even know if that's who nominates those people.
Well, it's the commissioner's court. Each person that's on the commissioner's court that is a Democrat picks a person, and a Republican picks a person to be on the library board. That's the way the procedure is. However, I'll investigate it further, but I just want to echo on what Ms. Chisholm had said about fairness of us not being able to vote because we're in the rural area. I too would like to know who sets these things up and these signs out for and against and all. It's a bit confusing. I've had several people calling me wanting an explanation for why these signs are set up the way they are. And I don't know who sets the signs up, so I really couldn't answer their question, you know. And I would like to know, too, who is it that puts these propositions together? Who is it that makes the decision on how they're placed on the ballot? I just voted, and I understand what you were saying. It was clear I was either for or against that proposition, but I had that one proposition there. Now, a person coming in from the city with the two propositions, I don't know how that ballot style looks. And will it be confusing for them? But a person I talked to the other day was wanting an explanation or something, some type of paper to show why they're saying that they're, why kids know, or why kids vote yes, and if you can become confused and thinking, if I vote, if this is for the kids, oh sure, I'm going to vote for it, because it's for the kids. They're being deceived, and because then you turn around and say, for the proposition for the roads, is for better roads, okay, people are going to say, if this is for better roads, then yes, I'm going to vote for it, not knowing the underlying information about why that proposition is on the ballot in the first place. And we have a problem with getting information out to the voters. And I think this is very important because the voters are the ones who put you in office. The voters are the ones who are paying your salary. Shouldn't you be very, very, very concerned, that's the word, very concerned about how the voters view and do certain things because you're working for the voters, okay? That's my thing. And my thing is, they go upstairs to the polling place to vote, and they look about, and they see how the situation is there. Now, I know I haven't been on the schedule about how they have to wait in line, et cetera, et cetera. You know, remember the voters, commissioners, please, remember the voters. Thank you.
Well, you know, I think that any citizen can go through the proper procedure. Commissioner Riddle, can you give her some insight as to how the unit vote comes to be and how that starts? Maybe that would help explain the process.
First of all, both of them are top ones. But as you say, if you stand on ballot, there's only one thing on the city ballot, and that's the liquor. And the other ballot has all the items on it. So the unit growth system is a modern style of managing your growth as opposed to the old ways of the state to provide the statute for that to happen, and it has to be approved by 10% of the amount of people to get on the ballot.
But who initiates that process? Anybody that wants to.
Anybody that wants to, I guess, to get on this stuff. Only way to get on the ballot. It's like the election office. Why couldn't we have given those a different prop? I was involved in sending an email to the paper to say, and to try to explain it. I don't know whether they'll charge us or they'll do it as a public service.
There's two propositions. Yeah, two proposition ones. I mean,
but they're on two separate ballots. They are on two separate pieces of paper.
It's just confusing to you.
The election board, I guess, besides that, they couldn't have given it a different number.
Boundaries, you know what I mean? There is there a board that says you can do it with just the city? Because you're kicking those little convenience stores out in the city, out of the county, when you're doing just city for liquor, you know what I mean?
No, we're not.
Well, whoever.
We're not. The person that applied for and got those requisite number of signatures made that decision. It's a strategic decision. They limited it only to the city because they felt like, and this is what I heard them tell me, was countywide, their chances of that passing were less than if they narrowed the scope and had a city-only election.
Okay, now reverse that for the road situation, and you just got your answer too. Sorry, guys, just didn't want to hang on that.
The city people pay county taxes like we do that in the county.
Mm-hmm.
But they should have a say so.
Yeah, I would say so, but I live in the city, and I travel a lot of county roads.
You might get this newspaper, kind of talk to him about it.
He ought to be able to cover this on his own with his experience.
If you did a newspaper or authority, or against it, it's against it, yes or no, you're voting. You just need to be explaining a little bit better.
I would hope these people can think when they get to that. But, yeah.
Well, sometimes, you know, the people in the state will put amendments on there and stuff, you got to vote yes, vote no, vote no, vote yes. It's confusing. I think they could do a much better job, you know, are you for it?
Yeah, but that's what I want to know, is who's doing the shoving.
Well, that's part of election strategy too. You know,
yeah, it
you
is.
Can
right.
use these confusing
right.
issues to your advantage
right.
or suffer disadvantage.
Right.
And that's up to you how well you want to promote your position. So.
Right.
I've had some folks that have said something to me about it, and they said, well, we live in the county, we're shopping in town.
Yeah.
And I said, I know, but that's the way it's set
up. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you're getting what I'm getting, or have had a couple, and I've done, you know.
Let me think on it, see, maybe, I don't know how much I
love. Oh, come on, Judge, you might as well throw your idea out there. It's as good as ours.
Well, my idea might be have a central location where there could be some clarification. Perhaps that's a newspaper ad, perhaps it's a letter to the editor, perhaps it's Facebook page, I'm not sure.
I think a Facebook page would be better because not everybody takes a newspaper.
Not everybody does Facebook either. Oh, I'm sorry.
It gets a good year blimp, maybe.
Stop lower there.
You know, these are questions that now that you're going through this election and you see how confusing this is, we could have backed up a month, maybe we could have had a public information campaign that would have made this crystal clear, but we do know that the folks that show up to vote that don't live in the city are not going to be given a city ballot. That's
oh,
not that
no.
part itself. And if they do get a city ballot, and if they can read and they choose to read it, it will clearly state on there that it's about alcohol. It has nothing to do with roads, and so I don't think they'll be confused there. Conversely, the county voters will have the opportunity to vote on that road decision. I think it'll be clear the way the item is worded on there as to whether they want to approve the optional road method. So.
But the problem with that is that if they see that and the lay person and haven't been involved with it, they don't know the underlying part about the road system. When you see that, when it says you want better roads, yes, of course you want better roads, so you're going to go, yes. But you don't know about the other part that the Commissioner Riddle was speaking of about hiring someone to come in and et cetera, et cetera. That part, I don't think the general public really knows that because I haven't seen anything that explaining that to everyone, and that's why some people were calling me, asking me, just exactly what does that mean? Does that mean we're going to get better roads if I vote yes on that? Well, you know, that comes into the interpretation.
Did you attend the public forum last week?
I did not, and the reason I did not was because I already knew what was going on.
Oh, but I did. I enjoyed it. Oh, I did enjoy it.
Well, the public forum, I think, explain that for those that wanted to know more, they came, for those that...
Were you there?
No, I was not there.
See?
See, what, I know, I just knew it before. Well, again, it's,
No, it's what they're gonna say. They're gonna, with the hostility, they're gonna say, better double check, we're gonna get rid of those commissioners. Watch it, Judge, you may be next, if they're, in a hostile mood, they vote.
They have the right to vote any way that they choose, let's hope that they understand what we're voting for.
This is true, yes, thank you.
All right. Okay, so y'all promise me one thing, please show up at the next city council meeting? Chew on them.
When is that? When are the city council meetings? See, aren't you sorry you opened your mouth?
No, I'm not. It is a good thing to discuss, and these guys, I'm sure they're gonna get an earful, too. But this is how we educate one another, and this is how we make sure that...
You have to get Mr. Webster's book then.
Sir?
You have, yeah. You have to get Mr. Webster's book, that's the word democracy then. Son of a gun. Now, when's the city council meetings?
They're on Tuesday nights, but I don't know which nights they are.
Okay.
We'll find that out.
The hospital board is the last Monday of the month, I figured that out after that nasty letter appeared in the paper.
Okay. All right, anyone else on the subject, any other public comments? All right, we will move on to approval of the minutes from our last meeting on the 11th of October, that's our first meeting of the month, our regular meeting.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Commissioner Newton makes that motion, go ahead, and second by Commissioner Parker, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, item number three and four, brought to you here from slate of possible holidays for 2017 on item number three. I don't know if y'all had a chance to look at that or not, this is, we tried to go as closely as I could to match what the current year's holidays are. There is the same number of holidays there. If there's any shuffling around that you want to consider, okay, here's just the Tuesdays. First and third Tuesdays of the month, so we may have missed,
What time?
6 p.m., I do know that.
Okay.
Is tomorrow the, I think tomorrow should be the third Tuesday. They have Thanksgiving for tomorrow.
They do?
Yes.
All right. Be there in voice. No, tomorrow's the fourth Tuesday. It's your, tomorrow's the fourth Tuesday.
According to our website, they got it tomorrow night, they have the agenda.
Oh, sure, we just thought later was the problem.
Showing October 24, 6 p.m.
Showing October 24, 6 p.m.?
25, 6 p.m.
25, 6 p.m.? I don't know why it's a special night. Maybe it's a special call meeting. Anyway, back on our county holidays, I don't think any surprises in there on you. You'll see that the 2017 New Year's Eve is not included on there, and we have kind of deviated that for the last couple of years. So the 31st would be on a Monday, and the New Year's holiday there toward the end of 2017 would not be until the following day, the first day of 2018, which would be on a Tuesday. But this particular calendar right here does reflect Monday, January 2, rather than the 1st, as the proposed holiday, since January 1 falls on a Sunday. So that's a little bit different there for you to consider. I don't see anything else on there that is a bit awkward, other than, oh, I do see something else. Christmas If you want to give two Christmas holidays, we suggested Monday the 25th, Christmas Day, and then Tuesday the 26th, rather than that Friday before. But that's something that you might want to consider. Any comment or discussion on there? This is our time.
I don't have any problem.
Okay, Commissioner Fields makes the motion that we adopt this 2017 Titus County holiday. Listing that includes 13 paid holidays.
Second
by Commissioner Parker. All in favor of the approval of this calendar year, 2017 calendar year, say aye. Opposed? All right, we'll move on to item number 4. Consider possibly approving the commissioner's report schedule. And again, pretty straightforward here. We're down there on October 6th or 10th. Now we can wait until closer. Of course, we can always even change it. But there on October 6th or 10th, we've got a Monday holiday there, so I'll give you the option Friday meeting prior to the holiday to have commissioner's court, or Tuesday, as we did back a couple of weeks ago. And then same thing there on Christmas. You would either have a commissioner's court meeting on Friday the 22nd as you're preparing for your four-day weekend, or come back after your four-day weekend for a meeting on the 27th.
I personally like Tuesday and Wednesday instead of Friday. I like Tuesday and Wednesday because you want to fly and have a whole day of planning for Christmas. You also want to do something.
Second, with those two optional notes being on the Tuesday. Tuesday on October 10th, and then Wednesday, 27th. See, I like having it on that Friday, so I don't have to think about it all the time. Everybody's got their own opinions. But anyway, I do have a motion by Commissioner Fields and a second by Commissioner Riddle to approve these dates, and specifically October 10th being the Tuesday following the holiday, and then December 27th, Wednesday following the holidays. That is the motion and the second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Sure, we can always change if something does come up. Item number 5, consider possibly approving renewal of an annual maintenance contract for our cameras with Newman Electronics for $5,800 to be paid out of security fund. I do want you to know a couple of things. First of all, we're running behind on the actual dates. This should have been done back in the spring. Dennis admittedly forgot about it, and I forgot about it. So the period of time still stays the same. The day is March 1, 2016, and February 28, 2017. We have not paid for this current year that began March 1. And ends February 28th of next year. And this is a one-time payment that's normally paid. Since we last did this, we have significantly increased the number of cameras, and as you'll recall, we also added to this system the ability for multiple people to be able to view multiple buildings' cameras. So again, a significant increase in the number of cameras and a significant increase in the capabilities and the software and the hardware attributable to our audio and video surveillance systems. This price is $5,800 per year, and we would owe this upon approval of this contract. Motion is made by Commissioner Hinton for approval, and second by Commissioner Parker. All in favor say aye. Opposed?
Not also a good chance, because you go by City Hall, he's got to look at the county office and the courthouse.
Yeah, he's an officer, so he's got multiple computer screens there that gives him a real wide view of a lot of things going on in all of our buildings. All right, these next two items are going to be kind of dull. But item number six, open bids, review, and possibly award for elevator. I got one unopened bid from Krupp Elevator. I contacted the four big companies, as you'll recall, Bob and Simic that was here a few weeks ago, told us about those big four. I did research that. He was absolutely right. There are four big ones. They all have offices in the Dallas area. I contacted all four of those. I was led to believe by three that I would get a bid. The fourth one never did respond back to my email or voicemail. One did not provide any bid even after a follow-up contact. I have this one from Krupp, and then the company that Mr. Simic works for. I called him this morning after he assured me he would have it to me by last Friday. I didn't receive it. So I called him this morning prior to the meeting, and he said, well, as we speak, I'm working on it. I should have it ready by noon. I said, that's going to be too late. He said, well, I've got a number right now, but you're not going to like it. I'm waiting on a different price on a particular item in hopes that I can get this price a little bit cheaper, but I don't have it ready yet. So I told him, and I'm asking you to let's consider tabling this. I hate to open up just one bid on a potentially $80,000 item. I would like to get at least two of these. Certainly would like to get one from our current elevator company that services our elevator. So I'll ask that you table that, please.
I make a motion to table.
Motion is made by Commissioner Parker to table our elevator bid decision, and second by Commissioner Hinton. All in favor say aye. Opposed? And then again, on item number seven, consider possibly approved lighting and ceiling fans for the county courtroom. So here's where I am on this. I'm not even going to mention any prices because I was a little bit shocked by the price that I got back on some lighting and ceiling fans. Feel the need to get at least another price. I also want to sit down with the company that gave me this current price. I just got it over the weekend and have not had a chance to discuss it with him just briefly. I want to know why that bid is so high. I want to see what his prices are for labor and for materials. What he was proposing was to replace the four corner lights with new LED lights that would flip on and come on immediately and would provide roughly three times the light that those six lamps are providing right now out of just four. And then the two center pair he would replace with a ceiling fan. And they need to be at the same height so that you don't get that strobe effect of a fan turning near a light. And then he was supposedly replacing these here with new LED fixtures that are brighter and adding some new additional cans up there, but I thought y'all might be upset with me if I gave you the price that he had quoted, so I'm gonna hold off on that, if you will allow me to, until I can get at least another bid or proposal for changes to our lighting and our ceiling fan. Now, y'all are perfectly happy with what we've got, tell me, and I'll quit spending any more time and effort on this. But he measured with his tools the amount of light that we have in here, and with light meter equipment, we're way under power as far as light. That goes for out there, it goes for up here, we survive some additional daylight, this is a dark quarter, in my opinion. If y'all are okay with it, let me know, but we have lots of other things to go on in here to go on all day long, and you get a good cloudy day, and it's just a, it's a dark day. So, that's it, what would you like for me to do? Anybody perfectly happy with the way things are, would like to just leave it alone?
Make a motion that you go ahead and see this in the parlor.
Table this item, motion to table by Miller.
I'm happy with the way it is.
Got a motion? So when you say fix, tell me what you mean.
One line out here. What I remember seeing is that it's gonna come down. And you're talking to the doctors, you know, I talked to them. And I thought that was already done, it's just that we're fixed.
Well, it's great, the lighting all begins at halfway point, why doesn't it keep going down there, I don't know.
Well, if you don't have a problem, it's, you know.
Is that a second?
It's a part of the problem.
Is that a second to table this? I got a second, all in favor of tabling this with the instruction to pursue getting an additional bid or bids for this work. I'll make that part of the motion, if that's okay. Say aye. Opposed. Thank you, Commissioner Riddle, you're opposed since your license, you like the way it is.
Well, there's a lot of things that can be done. You can increase the ruins on these rooms on these lots, and a lot of things that can be done to improve them without going through that great expense. That'd be pretty practical, but that's not a common thing.
Well, that was the charge that I gave him. I didn't tell him any particular thing to do. I just said, here's our situation, what can you do to improve it? I think he's considered all kinds of things. You can't just go and put a high rod bolt in these lights, they're a very particular kind of light. Here, you've got the maximum watts that you can have in that particular fixture.
Oh, that's true. Then you watch it, you know, for various reasons, in my home and so forth, and pricing LED lights. I'm telling you that they've gone down in the last 12 months by 80%. You can get one for 20% what you could have bought a year ago with the lights. And I think that if you jump up and go through that without waiting to see the thing in there, it's a total, you can see how that drops. And I replaced these lights with LED lights, similar, or the same. And I get four of them.
replacement of the fixture, but again, I've got to see what his numbers include, I just don't know.
Yeah, and it is, if we mine it like this, we'll get a fixture to go in there, that replaces the people, so. But that's included with the vote, I should.
Well, I'm gonna certainly include him and ask that he find us the most economical way that he possibly could to get us a better life, and if we can get an economic price, then it will be up to you to decide whether or not it's worth it. All right, we'll move along to item number eight, consider possibly approved travel and seminars. Let me jump to item number nine, approved oral and written report. First item is from our clerk. First two items, and this is, gentleman's asking to send Paul Herman to the 62nd Annual Bible Statistics Conference in Austin, and that's December 7th, 8th, and 9th, with travel on 6th and 9th, $250 registration, $140 in per diem meals, $486.45 in hotel accommodations, taking a personal vehicle, 314 miles times two, total approximate cost, $1,215.57, and this is mandatory training. And the gentleman is requesting to attend County and District Clerks Association Conference, put on by the Texas Association of Counties in San Marcos in February, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th, with travel on those same days. Well, you're gonna leave early, aren't you? Cost of registration, $180, $160 in per diem meals, $420.90 hotel, and 696 miles, or a total approximate cost of $1,136.74. This is from the sheriff. We've got, we want to send Elisa Bryson, Teresia Knox, dispatchers, to take the state exam for telecommunicator. That is a $25 each cost. Take that at NTCC. No travel involved there. The same two, he would like to send them to public safety telecommunicator basic course. Is an online course. It's a $100 registration, resulting in a $200 cost for that. So you have taking the state exam for telecommunicator along with the online course. For those two, brings the total to $250 total to cover both of those. And that's all I have. Motion by Commissioner Parker, second by Commissioner Fields, all in favor, say aye. Item number nine, approved oral and written reports. Thank you. made by Commissioner Hannah to approve. Second by Commissioner Cosgrove, all those in favor, say aye. Item number 10 is consider our treasurer's report.
Make a motion to approve treasurer's report.
Motion by Commissioner Hannah for approval. Second by Commissioner Parker. Christie, would you refresh me again, what is the source of revenues that goes into that victim of crime fund? Do you know?
That's the fees, like the JPs and the...
We just collect it.
And then we have quarterly reports that we send out to the state. We get an admin fee on most of them, like a 5 to 10%.
Do we have to send them the bulk of this?
Yes. And right now, we're working on this quarters. This week, we'll be sending those out.
So if it builds up, then it takes a big drop.
Right.
All right, got a motion and a second, all those in favor, say aye. Who was the second? Commissioner Parker. Item 11 is approved budget amendments.
There are none.
There are none. We've pretty well finished with the fiscal year.
Well, what we'll do is we'll wait until we make sure we've got any old bills in, and then we'll make final adjustments, line item changes to last year's year end.
Hopefully through November, because I'm trying to get them to come audit us in December. So I'm hoping before Thanksgiving, we can get all this closed out.
We're just trying to make sure that none of those bill out there somewhere that belongs before September 30.
Since there are no budget amendments, I'll move on to item 12, sign pay orders and approve payments.
Make a motion to pay bills.
Motion by Commissioner Hannah. And second by Commissioner Parker, all in favor, say aye. Opposed? Closing comments, if any. I've got a couple here. Need your attention on this. Think back to the presentation from John Martin talking about the bonds. And if you'll recall, in order to move forward with the refinancing of these bonds, they had to achieve several objectives. One of which was we had to realize a savings of at least 9%. We had to achieve certain thresholds, I believe, in terms of interest rate to accomplish that. And here's what ended up happening. We had about $49 million worth of bonds, $48 million that we were trying to get refinanced. And John, in the last few hours or in the last couple of days, said, you know what, the interest rates have crept up a bit. We were kind of afraid of that. And we feel like this is the best move for the county. Let us go ahead and refinance part of these bonds, but let's wait and see if we can't find a better opportunity on the remaining bonds. And so what we ended up doing was selling refinanced bonds on a portion, just over half of these bonds, and we're going to hold off on about $20 million. So basically, we took care of about $30 million of the roughly $50 million should have taken that deal, but they strongly believe that as we get past the election, that there will be continued low interest rates. Everything indicates that. But when you get down to trying to achieve what we're trying to achieve, you know, even the smallest denomination of the interest rate adjustment can make a big difference. And he felt like we would have been cheating ourselves had we forced the sale on that other $20 million. And so therefore, I made the decision to take their advice and only refinance 30 of the 50, and then we are going to continue in the days, weeks, months ahead to look for that other opportunity to refinance the remaining 20. So we have not realized our full potential for annual savings of around $400,000, but it's more like two-thirds, or more like three-fifths of that, since we only refinanced three-fifths of the bonds, or $30 million out of $50 million. So I did leave you the details of that in a memo, but that's basically what it boils down to, is we didn't get the entire job done, but we decided it would be better off waiting and hopefully find a more opportune time. Let me tell you about an opportunity coming up on November the 4th. That is a week from this Friday. There will be a lunch at the Civic Center. And this is put on by this chamber, and they call this the State of the Economy Luncheon, I believe is what they called it for the last couple of years. At this time, and I was given the privilege of helping choose the speaker, and I suggested to Katie Stedman with the chamber that we invite David Dean. David Dean is the owner of Dean International Public Policy Consultants out of Dallas, and they are the primary driver behind Text 21 that we have been a part of. David has been an invaluable source of information to counties, cities, municipalities up and down Interstate 30, as well as other roads across the state. It was instrumental in helping us get the I-30 corridor coalition put together. And as a result of his efforts, I believe, eventually this resulted in the I-30 corridor study, which is nearing completion here by TxDOT, along with a working committee that I happen to chair. So David is going to come and talk, and his topic for discussion is going to be the importance of and the benefits of having Interstate 30 going right through Mount Pleasant. And he's always an excellent speaker. Transportation is something that interests us. Interstate 30 interests us. I would strongly encourage you guys to consider coming to this lunch a week from Friday, November 4th at 11:30. It'll probably go from 11:30 to 1:15. I think you'll find it very informative, and I think it'd be great if we could all attend and perhaps even sit there together and show support. But a great opportunity for our community to get David to come and speak. I think you will like this. I just came back from Austin, where we had a Text 21 meeting with a variety of folks at the Capitol last Friday. They always put on a great day and get us hooked up with some just the right people down there in Austin, especially when we're not in session down there, you get to cover a lot of ground. So thank you for allowing me to go to that. The I-30 corridor study, we've had three live meetings. We've had one seminar over the internet where we wrapped up basically our comments providing the TxDOT. And I'll hold off on giving you the results of that study for now, but I think that Titus County is going to fare very well in the what comes out of the I-30 corridor study. I think we're going to see some significant things happen in our town in the next 4 years. Several things are slated to come out of that study. So
commissioners go to school and get reimbursed, like I get reimbursed for my mileage, they still get the 15.6. And we take out, the county takes out Social Security and Medicare, so that's another almost 80% that it costs us, besides what we give them. So I don't know why, I do know why, it's trying not to be transparent to the taxpayers, how kind of salary these elected officials make, is my opinion of it. And then the second thing I'd like to address is, I've talked to people about why we don't get bids when we put out bids. And the perception is that we're just, they tell me, guys, they already know they're gonna give them to, it's just the cronyism we're accused of. Whether we're guilty or not, I don't know, but I think we should be aware of that accusation, that's the general public's opinion about us, this commissioner's court, that it's already decided we're gonna do it. And I think we should guard against that.
Can you give me a recent example of the last couple of years of that?
No, I can't, I'm not going to give you the companies that told me that, you know. Thank you.
My question is, what has prevented anybody that wanted to bid on a county job from bidding?
Well, you said you call us, I'm knocking that door through the wall over there, you just call people. You should have put it in the paper, you should have tried everything you could, I mean, I think you should, this is my opinion, you asked me.
That's mine, you realize we've never got one response to the newspaper, right?
That's the reason that I asked that question. Several people.
Well, that's their answer.
Answer was, they've already decided, don't really do it, that's your decision to do it. And I do know of the fact when we go to the adult probation, and Mr. Basham, and we had him take the bids. And he decided to, he told us what the bids were. And we got to decide which ones it was.
Well, I tell, after all that, granted I learned something from that, and I can make a bid to do it, whatever I can do to expand our bidding process. And I still say that's what I want to do. I would be happy